Good morning. As my husband already referred to, I think I'm going to have to stop letting Rebecca sing before I come up here. Because every year you make me cry. It's a little bit hard to start after that and very hard to follow that. In case you hadn't already picked up on the fact that it's Mother's Day and we're celebrating moms today, I don't think you could have ignored it the last couple weeks. It has been everywhere. Probably more than any other year, I have noticed the commercial ads, radio, television, stores, all saying, we know and we have what mothers really want. Because Mother's Day is coming, don't you dare forget it. But everybody's claiming to have what moms really want. Well, then this last week, I actually try to stay off social media Mother's Day week. There's reasons for that. But I noticed a few bloggers getting on there and saying, this is what we really want. And do you know that the two lists were not the same? Can you imagine that? What the stores are saying moms want, what all the people selling things are saying moms want, and what the mom said they really want, were really not very close. We're going to contrast that a little bit, and I'm going to take a little survey here. How many of you moms want an appliance for Mother's Day? One hand? There were no hands in the first service either. Now, what about flowers? Does flowers work for you? Okay, a few takers for flowers. Chocolate, always a good choice. Now, a lot of times, the things we really want, people don't tend to think of. I mean, not all of us gets a song. Tara, I love to watch you every year because this girl's amazing. And some of us would wish that someone would write a song about us. But that doesn't happen for very many of us. Sometimes, don't you just need something that tells you how great you are? What mom some year would just love to get a trophy or a blue ribbon? Nicole, you deserve this. You're a great mom. I have never seen a mom have a blue ribbon on display that she got for Mother's Day, but I think it would be an awesome gift. There's other gifts that can't be wrapped. What about energy? Okay, I'm seeing some hands. I need help. Would you believe I found some in a can? If you raised your hand, you need energy this year for Mother's Day. Would you please raise it again? Because I have assistance. It says it right there on the can, plus energy. And you need it. What about balance? Anybody ever need some balance in your life? I see a hand in the back. I see a couple hands over here. I need help. Leif, thank you. Help me out. Raise that hand if you need balance. Do you think Mother's Day, being a mother might be easier if it came with a payday? Oh, yeah. We got him. If a payday would make mothering easier for you, we're here to please. Now, I know some of you are going to tell me you're just in it for the hugs and kisses. Who's in it for the kisses? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're actually going to look to Scripture for our inspiration today. Many of the women in the Bible are mentioned because of the part of their story about the child that God gives them, or because of who their child grew up to be. Mothering was a significant part of their story. Now, I think that God knew that we as women needed to know the story. Isn't that true? Women love the story. When women get together, it's not unusual for baby or birth stories to come up. Now, I already had this in mind for today, but would you believe last Wednesday night in the lobby right over here, there was a little group of moms, and there was some mothering stories happening. I know some of you are bummed that you missed it, because we don't like to miss a good mom story, or we want the opportunity to share ours. And it doesn't matter how long it's been, it's still that fresh. I'm seeing you connect with me here, Tammy. It's still that fresh. We remember so well. Now, it's not so in the Bible or in life when it comes to men. So God put the women's stories in the Bible, but this is what he says when it comes to men. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and all his brothers. Now, if you read it in the King James Version, you'll read it as the begats or the begots, and we usually give up because we want the details. The girls want the details. So our story today is about women, but I want you to know that the principles and the message apply to all of us, so nobody gets to tune out. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'll read. I hope you'll follow along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus." Have you heard this story before? If so, please read along or listen for some new details today. Verse 34, "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." This will be significant later, for no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Now that scripture right there, Mary's response, is great sermon material. If every one of us would adopt it as our response to God's direction, instruction in our lives, not only would we be much better off, but the world would be a much better place. Now, by now, I'm sure some of you are absolutely convinced that I have the wrong holiday. Has that crossed your mind yet? Now, usually when we read this, we focus on the baby, but today it's all about his mother. She's familiar because of the baby. The circumstances have become familiar because we hear about the miracle. Even Mary's response has become familiar to us, but it's really so remarkable for a woman her age. In my reading, one of the things I discovered is that the scholars believe she could not have been more than 15 years old at the time this story happened. That is about the age, or younger than, the worship team you saw on the stage this morning. That was our Mary. We're going to focus our attention a little bit farther forward in the story. We're going to start up at verse 39. But I just want to remind you, remember what I said about women liking a good birth story? I think that's what motivated Mary here. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And this is our theme verse today. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. The New Living Translation says it this way: you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. And I want to remind you, Gabriel had told Mary about Elizabeth's baby, but no one had told Elizabeth about Mary's baby. That was the Holy Spirit. So when she speaks over Mary and she says, blessed is she who believed, that was the Holy Spirit speaking that about Mary. And it wasn't just as earlier in the passage, she said, I bless you, I praise you, I speak well of you. The blessing that she spoke over Mary's belief was actually a whole different root word. Just like they had more words for love than we have in our vocabulary, they had more words for blessed, more definitions, more root words. This one means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, and happier. I couldn't help as I pondered that maybe all of us would be happier if we actually believed that and truly believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to us. So after Elizabeth finishes this great blessing, I want to look at Mary's response. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She goes on to talk about his attributes, and then she finishes with, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Just as he promised. So I've been pondering this for a while. How did a girl so young, especially in a place where she wasn't educated in the same way men were, they were separated even in when they went to the temple, how did she prepare to become she who believed? So I want to share some of my observations about Mary in this passage for some inspiration and instruction for us on how to live. The first thing I noticed about Mary was that she had the right foundation. She knew Scripture. Now, I know you expect to hear this Pastor Brown talk about reading your Bible through, but this passage and Mary's response has so inspired me as a whole nother reason why we need to know what it says. I did some research because this passage contains no reference to a quote. Now, when she responded to Elizabeth's blessing, I really thought that was a quote from the Old Testament. But commentators say that neither she nor Luke were quoting the Old Testament. But she knew, this is what they said, but she knew Scripture well enough that the words and thoughts of Scripture flowed from her. Does that inspire you? That inspires me, a young girl who knows Scripture so well that it flows from her. I want my first response to be so steeped in Scripture and the principles and promises that what comes out sounds like that. In fact, that response has a name. It's called the Magnificat, and it's been put to song more times than I could count online. It's become famous. And that was the response of her heart to a promise of God. Many of you have heard my bug illustration. It will probably keep coming up when I speak until I stop needing it in my own life. And I need it often, so it's probably going to happen every time you hear me. I was challenged with the question, reading a Christian book, When you step on a bug, what comes out? Guts. I hear guts. That was my answer, guts. The official answer was whatever's on the inside, which usually happens to be guts for a bug. Whatever's on the inside. Now, I've noticed in my own life, when I get squished or under pressure or a little stressed out about speaking, what comes out? Whatever's on the inside. And that challenges me. That illustration has challenged me for years. This very week, I stood in front of the mirror after a response that surprised me, and I looked at myself and went, where did that come from? Again. I keep thinking it'd all be squished out by now. And that's part of the reason I'm so challenged by Mary. What came out in a moment of surprise was Scripture and the promises. That challenges me. Mary also had a right attitude. She was joyful. She said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. There's a couple sermons there. Her spirit rejoiced. She was joyful. She also said, God, my Savior. She had a personal connection to her God. She was humble. She said, he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. She was grateful. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She was a worshiper. She said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And she went on to talk about his many attributes. She had a right attitude. She also asked the right question. In verse 34 of Luke 1, when the angel gave her such surprising news, she said, how will this be? Or how will it happen? Now, I don't know about you, but that wouldn't have been my first question. I want to give you another example from that very same chapter, Luke chapter 1, a little earlier in the chapter. This has been a fascinating chapter for me to ponder. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of the Lord, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, I notice details like very old. Now, when Scripture talks about people's ages, they got really, really, really old back then. So whatever very old means here, they don't tell us how old Zechariah and Elizabeth were. But Scripture even calls him very old. No, Zechariah was a priest. He was there in the temple on duty. He was the one chosen to go burn incense by the altar. And when he went in, he saw an angel. See if this sounds familiar. Zechariah saw him, was gripped with fear, and the angel said, do not be afraid. Do you think he started every conversation with that line? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He goes on to tell him about his son, how great of a man he will be, how he will point the way to the Messiah. I want you to listen to Zechariah's response in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. How can I be sure of this? How do I know it's true? Mary's response was, how will it happen? Zechariah's response, he was also well-trained in the Scripture and the promises. They both would have probably known the prophecy of a Messiah. But Mary asked, how will it happen? Zechariah asked, how do I know this is true? Different question. Very different question. Mary also had the right response. when the angel told her. Her response was, I am the Lord's servant. This is verse 38, Luke 1. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary could have so easily become concerned about the risk or her reputation. Not only could she have lost her future husband, but this could have cost her her life. In her day and her culture, this could cost her her life. But her question was, how will it happen? How did she do that? In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, there's a scripture that I think gives a clue to it. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Mary's mind was set on what the Spirit desired and instructed of her. I want to talk a little bit, too, about what this passage has spoken to me about the promises, God's promises. The first thing that was so evident is that all of God's promises are true. When Gabriel was talking to Mary, he had said, verse 37, Luke 1, for no word from God will ever fail. I know some of you are familiar with or were part of our Awana clubs, and at the very beginning of Awana, we had a scripture verse the kids love to say. And it ends with that we are rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is true. I'll admit some promises are easier to believe because they're easier to receive. And I find myself focusing on believing the ones that I want to receive. Sometimes we want to choose which promises he's faithful about. But they're all true. Truth is still true in the dark, or in pain, or in a valley, or in loneliness, or even if it doesn't feel true. God's truth is and will always be true. It is his promise to us. The second thing I noticed about God's promises in this passage was that his promises are not limited or based on our response. Zechariah's response to the angel was, how can I be sure? How do I know this is true? And this is what the angel said to him. Luke 1, verse 19, the angel said to Zechariah, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Zechariah's response didn't matter. It didn't make a difference in whether or not the promises came true. Zechariah did not believe, but the promise still came to pass. I have another example. She's familiar to you from the Old Testament. Sarah. Her name is Sarah. Her husband Abraham had three visitors. He offered them hospitality, food. He had Sarah cook for them. He offered them rest. And then one of them, the Lord asked, where is Sarah? Verse 10 of Genesis 18 says, and then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Here it is again. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. There's kind of a theme there. They were very old. The previous chapter, Genesis 17, actually lists them as 99 and 90. To me, because they seemed like they got to be hundreds of years old back then, I didn't think that was so bad, but Scripture calls them very old. So Sarah laughed to herself when she heard it, and she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. The promise coming true in spite of a response. Sarah was afraid, so she lied, and she said, I did not laugh. And God said, yes, you did. Don't try to lie your way out of that one. God's promise was not based on Sarah's response. The name of his promise became Isaac. Even Abraham, in the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 17, God told him before Sarah, I will give your wife, you and your wife Sarah, a child. This is his response in chapter 17. He fell face down, he laughed, and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Some years ago, we had a grandma here in the church that we loved. She had been here since we had come to New Life, and she was in her 90s. And I remember one Christmas reading this passage and imagining her with having a baby. And it kind of did make you realize the miracle of it all. I suspect that Abraham and Sarah had a sense of humor because both of them, their first response was to laugh. Now, if God came to me when I was 90 and said, you are going to have a baby, I wouldn't be laughing. I'd be crying. And I'd probably be a single mother because my husband would probably have a heart attack. So the fact that they both laughed, both of them, their first response was laughter, actually kind of makes me wish I had been friends with them. The New Living Translation says it this way about Sarah. So Sarah laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so very old? Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't record your thoughts sometimes? I mean, she was thinking this, and there it is for all of us to read. We may question Sarah's response. I didn't necessarily see it or understand it as a response of faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11, this is the way God records her response. Hebrews 11:11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Sarah believed that God would keep his promise. Believing his promises becomes our choice. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When I first discovered that scripture, I was actually disappointed that I wasn't able to please him without the faith part, because my faith really wasn't that strong, and I was pretty disappointed that I might not be able to please him. But it's become a challenge. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The choice is made easier knowing our God, knowing his promises, and feeding our faith. As we read in Romans, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on the Spirit, what the Spirit desires. As we close and turn our thoughts back to mothers today, I'm reminded of the many mothers whose stories are told in the Bible. Not one of them was perfect or together or had it all. In fact, I'm reminded how many of them had stories similar to the ones we hear about or know today. But God used each and every one of them. What God saw and rewarded was their faith in him and his promises. I especially love the stories of the 5 women who were listed in the lineage of Christ. All those men in Matthew 1 had mothers. You know they did. They're listed in the begats and the begots. They all had mothers too, but only 5 mothers are listed there. Every one of the mothers named there has a wild story, an even wilder example of faith. And I love that about the lineage of Christ and the women of the Bible. I truly believe that this can apply to all of us today. If there's anything you catch today, what I really want you to catch is that we all have the opportunity to believe, to choose to believe that God will fulfill his promises to us. But we have the choice and the responsibility to feed that. It's not going to come easy. If we're just waiting for God to show up and do a miracle, he's not going to just do it for our convenience. We have to feed our faith. We have to become so sure of who he is and what his promises are that we know that we can trust whatever promise he chooses to fulfill in our life. We don't get to choose it. That would be easy. But when we know and trust him well enough to trust him to choose the promise, we really will be blessed. We really will be happier, supremely blessed, when we trust him enough. And we'll only do that when we know him enough. I would love to pray for everyone today, and then I'd like to close praying over mothers. So if you would just stand with me. I pray that one of the things I pray today is that, like Mary, we'll choose to have a right foundation, a right attitude, ask the right questions, have a right response. Lord Jesus, I thank you that today every one of us has the same opportunity to believe you. Every one of us has the same opportunity to read your word, to believe that your promises are true, and that you will fulfill them in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to do so. I often ask myself the question, what does that look like? And Lord, for each one here today who you've challenged, would you show them what that looks like in their life, in their circumstances? And Lord, today I thank you for mothers. I thank you for their faithful, unconditional love, for the hard work, the long days, the many things they do. Thank you that they don't eat their young, because there's days we might want to. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them, and I pray that they would be renewed by the power of your word, that they would be encouraged by knowing that you are faithful and true, and that your promises will be fulfilled. Lord, I pray that that would give us a confidence to walk through every circumstance, from dirty dishes to dirty diapers, to praying for salvation for lost children, for foster children, for adoptive children, for stepchildren, for spiritual children. Lord, for all those we pray over and mother and love over, would you cause our faith to arise that you have a plan and a purpose, and you will fulfill your promises. Thank you, Jesus.